This is the Electronic Intifada Newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman, Associate Editor at the Electronic Intifada. It's day 12 of the ceasefire after 471 days of Israel's genocide in Gaza. Here's a brief summary of some of the latest developments this week in Gaza, the occupied West Bank, and Lebanon. Palestinians who have spent the last 15 months displaced from their homes and communities in Gaza have begun to return. On Wednesday, the Gaza government media office stated that more than 500,000 forcibly displaced persons have returned to the northern governorates since the withdrawal on Monday of Israeli occupation forces from the Netzarim corridor, which split Gaza in half. Al Jazeera's Hani Mahmoud, reporting from Gaza City on Wednesday, said that, quote, "Everything has been destroyed, from the public facilities to the residential buildings. There's nothing left. There are areas we spent over half an hour driving by where all we saw was sheer destruction," he added. "Entire residential neighborhoods have been wiped off the map. In some areas, there are no signs of destroyed homes at all, as everything was completely bulldozed. Not even the rubble exists anymore. We also saw some families returning to homes that are damaged. They stood in front of the homes for hours, wondering where and how to start. The joy of returning to northern Gaza has faded away in the face of the massive heartbreak and disappointment. As people return to their homes, or what is left of their homes, in northern Gaza, civil defense and paramedic crews say they continue to retrieve the decomposed remains of Palestinians in multiple locations along the coastal road that had been occupied and closed by Israeli forces. The Palestine Red Crescent Society said that it had recovered at least 14 bodies on the road, and the Palestinian Health Ministry in Gaza reported that 59 bodies of people killed in previous Israeli attacks have been recovered from the rubble on Wednesday alone. More than 400 bodies have been retrieved since the January 19th ceasefire. Meanwhile, Israeli forces have continued to attack Palestinians in Gaza. The Palestine Red Crescent reported on Wednesday that Israeli snipers shot at one of the ambulances while it was, quote, "carrying out an urgent mission in the Tel Sultan area west of Rafah in the south." The United Nations stated that on Monday, January 27th, a girl was killed and others injured when an animal-driven cart was hit on Al-Rashid Road, northwest of An-Nusayrat, while returning towards the north. On the same day, the UN says a man was reportedly killed and others injured when a bulldozer was hit in Al-Nuwayri area, northwest of Nusayrat. Abu Bakr Abed, reporting for Dropsite News, writes that more than 80 Palestinians have been killed since the ceasefire began, including 49 in Rafah alone. Dr. Zahar Al-Wahidi, the Palestinian Health Ministry's information director, told Abu Bakr and Dropsite News that, quote, "We need caterpillars and bulldozers to clear up the wreckage and recover these corpses. People are getting back to literally nothing. Rafah is destroyed and the killing and bombing continue there. Nearly 700 bodies are still trapped under the rubble in Rafah. Retrieving them mainly depends on allowing this essential machinery that can help with this cumbersome mission." The Gaza government media office reported on January 28th that civil security crews have worked to neutralize dangerous remnants of Israeli weaponry across the Gaza Strip. Quote, "Specialized teams have made strenuous efforts over the past days to remove unexploded ordnance and missiles and secure residential areas, which contributed to reducing potential risks to the lives of civilians, especially children who are exposed to these remnants while playing in the affected areas," the media office stated. The steady flow of humanitarian aid into Gaza and the work of local mutual aid organizations are providing life-saving supplies for Palestinians starved and sickened by Israel's genocidal siege. 14 Turkish aid ships carrying more than 870 tons of supplies, power generators, portable toilets, and thousands of tents and blankets arrived at the Arish port in Egypt on Wednesday. The Egyptian government said that the Rafah border crossing is set to reopen within days and that the Egyptian side of the crossing is ready for operation. North Sinai Governor Khaled Mojawer told the Anadolu news agency that, quote, the problem lies with the Palestinian side due to the damage caused by the Israeli military operations. The Palestinian side of the Rafah crossing has been forcibly closed and destroyed by Israel since early May. The World Food Program stated that it brought more food to people in Gaza during the first 4 days of the ceasefire than what it could previously dispatch on average per month. The UN reports that on Tuesday, January 28th, 13 of its supported bakeries began operating at full capacity, 8 in Deir Ebalah and 5 in Khan Yunus. These include 8 bakeries that had previously closed due to flour shortages and 5 new ones, the UN added. The Samir Project, a local mutual aid organization, said their volunteers distributed 51,000 liters of fresh water in Jabalia and Gaza City on Wednesday and provided free transportation to around 500 people returning from the south to the north. The UN Agency for Palestine Refugees, UNRWA, said that it had significantly scaled up its humanitarian operations in Gaza since the ceasefire began, including delivering more than 500,000 food parcels in just 9 days. The agency said on Wednesday that nearly 370 pallets of essential medications, including insulin syringes sufficient for over 17,000 people suffering from diabetes for 8 months, as well as laboratory and dental supplies, have also been dispatched to UNRWA-run health facilities, including in Deir Ebalah, Nusayrat, Al-Mawasi, and the Beach Health Center in Gaza Governorate, where services have been restored this week. More than 1,000 UNRWA healthcare providers have held appointments with nearly 14,000 patients and have supported solid waste collection efforts in 4 Gaza municipalities. UNRWA has also distributed hygiene items, potable and domestic water and shelter supplies, such as tarpaulins and blankets, to hundreds of families across Gaza, while about 22,000 tents are in the pipeline ready to enter the Strip. However, the Israeli Knesset activated legislation it passed last month to order the UN Agency for Palestine Refugees, UNRWA, to cease operations as of today. Philippe Lazzarini, UNRWA's Commissioner General, spoke to the UN Security Council on Tuesday, saying that, quote, full implementation of the Knesset legislation will be disastrous. In Gaza, undermining UNRWA's operations will compromise the international humanitarian response. It will degrade the capacity of the United Nations just when humanitarian assistance must be scaled up significantly. This will only worsen the already catastrophic living conditions of millions of Palestinians. As of this broadcast, UNRWA says that it has not received any official communication on how the Israeli parliament's bills banning UNRWA will be implemented. We'll have more on Israel's attempts to undermine the agency in the coming weeks. The spokesperson for the Gaza municipality, Asim Al-Nabi, who is also a regular contributor to the Electronic Intifada, reported that municipal engineers and workers have been assessing the damage to the city's water networks and planning the repairs as people return to the north. The water supply is only reaching 40% of the city's total area, Anabi stated, and the amount of water available to residents is extremely limited and falls far short of meeting their basic needs. Water networks have suffered severe damage, he added, and 75% of the central water wells have been damaged during the war. However, the delivery of fuel, which Israel had heavily restricted during the last 15 months, is helping to operate some of the sewage systems and water sources. The UN Children's Fund, UNICEF, says that its delivery of 10,000 liters of fuel has enabled the Palestinian Water Authority to resume operation of sewage pumps and water wells in North Gaza for the first time in 3 months. We've published many features on the Electronic Intifada in the last week, but we wanted to highlight excerpts of A Graveyard of Stones by Rasha Abu Jalal, writing from Gaza. Rasha profiles 3 Palestinians who are returning or preparing to return to their homes in the north or in the south after more than a year of forced displacement. She writes, quote, On the roof of a cart piled high with children and luggage, Issam Abu Maher, 39, stared at the long road ahead of him. Abu Maher was heading back to see his hometown of Huza, east of Khan Yunus in the southern Gaza Strip, from where he had been forced to leave, along with all Huza's residents, in December 2023. Everyone on board the vehicle on January 20th seemed happy that their displacement was over and the road to Huza was crowded. But as soon as Abu Maher's vehicle arrived in the town, joy turned into shock. The devastation was beyond imagination. Streets had been bulldozed, homes had been completely destroyed, and piles of rubble were everywhere. Abu Maher stood in the middle of the rubble that was once his home, picking up a handful of dirt between his fingers as if trying to restore the memory of the place. "I thought we were returning to our homes, but we returned to a graveyard of stones. No walls or doors, just rubble and the memories buried beneath it," Abu Maher told the Electronic Intifada. Still determined to stay in their hometown, Abu Maher, like other residents of the town, pitched his tent in front of the ruins of his old home. "If I am destined to live in a tent, let it be on top of the rubble of my home, here in my neighborhood and among my neighbors." "He is anxious," he said. "He has no idea when reconstruction might begin or if it even will. I fear that the wait for reconstruction will be long, that we will remain under tents forever, that these ruins will become our new home." That is an excerpt from A Graveyard of Stones by Rasha Abu Jalal on electronicintifada.net. Turning to the occupied West Bank, Israel has carried out a series of airstrikes and attacks on Palestinians in the north over the last week. On Wednesday, yesterday, 10 Palestinians were killed in an airstrike on Tamun near Tubas, according to the Wafa news agency. A Palestinian boy was shot and injured by Israeli forces in Tulkarem, also on Wednesday, as Israeli soldiers continued a three-day raid into the city. The United Nations reports that access to water and electricity has been disrupted in Tulkarem, and initial estimates suggest nearly 1,000 people have been displaced. On January 27th, Israeli forces carried out several raids around the Ramallah area. Meanwhile, the Israeli siege on Jenin and the Jenin refugee camp has continued for the second week. My colleague Tamara Nassar reported earlier this week that about 2,000 Palestinian families have been forcibly displaced from Jenin as a result of Israel's deadly raid. The Israeli invasion is a continuation of the Palestinian Authority's dirty work in the camp, she adds, which saw the killing of 15 Palestinians, including three children, between early December and January 17th, as the Israeli army now, quote, "seeks to reach several targets that PA forces have failed to," according to the Tel Aviv Daily Haaretz. The news publication Arabs 48 reports that Israeli forces have expanded their military aggression, driving military vehicles and bulldozers into Jenin, demolishing and burning homes and destroying the local infrastructure. On Tuesday, Israeli forces demolished the Hamza Mosque in Jenin camp and raided Palestinians' homes in preparation for destroying them. Israel's Defense Minister Israel Katz said on Wednesday that Israeli army forces will continue to occupy Jenin refugee camp. In a video statement, Katz said, quote, "The camp will not return to what it was. Even after the operation ends, Israeli forces will stay to ensure that, quote, terrorism does not return." Israeli soldiers have now killed at least 16 Palestinians and injured and arrested dozens, and at least 100 homes inside the camp have been destroyed, according to local news sources. On Sunday, January 26th, an Israeli sniper shot and killed a 16-year-old child, Adam Majdi Ahmed Sublaban, near the Kalandia checkpoint north of Jerusalem. Defense for Children International Palestine stated that Adam and two other children were walking in the area where no tensions were present. Adam was struck in the left thigh from behind, resulting in severe bleeding due to the injury to the femoral artery in the thigh. In occupied East Jerusalem, Israeli forces have reportedly arrested 12 Palestinians who celebrated the release of prisoners as part of the Gaza ceasefire. Israel's police and internal spy agency, the Shin Bet, said they arrested them after videos emerged showing them celebrating by waving Hamas flags and firing guns into the air. They allege that the men violated a ban on expressions of joy and identification with Hamas that has been imposed since the ceasefire in Gaza took hold. The violent arrests in the context of the prohibition on expressions of joy by Israeli forces have prompted the Palestinian Prisoners Society to appeal to international mediators to intervene against, quote, systematic terrorism against released prisoners and their families. According to the prisoners' rights group, Israeli forces have threatened to bomb places where well-wishers of the released prisoners have gathered, while other released prisoners have faced rearrest and detention. On Monday, quote, Israeli forces summoned the released prisoner Ashwaq Awad to meet Israeli intelligence. In this context, the Palestinian Prisoners Society expressed its fears that Israel could rearrest the released prisoners, especially under Military Order No. 1651, which allows this to happen even under exchange deals. On Saturday, January 25th, Israeli forces shot and killed a two-year-old girl, Leila Mohammed Ayman Khatib, while she ate dinner with her family in their home near Jenin, according to Defense for Children International Palestine. They say that Israeli soldiers shot four bullets through the living room window, one of which struck Leila in the back of the head. Leila's grandfather carried her out of the house and brought her to Al Razi Hospital in Jenin, where she received emergency surgery. Leila was pronounced dead around 10 p.m., the rights group stated. Ayad Abu Aktesh, Accountability Program Director at DCIP, stated, quote, Israeli forces regularly and routinely carry out military operations with complete contempt for Palestinian life. Little Leila was having dinner with her family when Israeli forces, unprompted, fired live ammunition into their living room, killing her. It is outrageous that the Israeli military has been permitted by world leaders to kill Palestinian children with impunity in flagrant violations of international law. Leila's mother and aunt sustained injuries from the shrapnel during the attack, according to information collected by DCIP. The Palestinian human rights group Al-Haq stated on Wednesday that, quote, the genocidal rhetoric and incitement from Israeli officials, which has characterized the atrocities in Gaza, is increasingly applied to all Palestinians. The decades-long failure of the international community and of high contracting parties to the Geneva Conventions to stand up against Israel's manifest violations of international law facilitates the climate of impunity by which Israeli authorities are perpetrating its genocidal, colonial violence against the Palestinian people. Al-Haq adds, to put an end to such violence, all states must immediately abide by their obligations under international law, particularly in light of the ICJ advisory opinion of July 2024, requiring that Israel end its illegal presence in and remove settlers from the occupied Palestinian territories. And in Lebanon, Israeli forces have injured dozens of people in the last 4 days, according to the Lebanese Health Ministry. Under the terms of the ceasefire agreement, which was extended 3 more weeks last weekend after a 60-day truce, the Israeli army was expected to withdraw from southern Lebanon on Sunday. However, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's office said it would keep soldiers in the country beyond the deadline, Al Jazeera reported. The Reuters news agency reported that Israeli forces killed at least 24 people and wounded more than 140 in southern Lebanon on Sunday and Monday, the Lebanese Health Ministry said, as thousands of people tried to return to their homes in the area in defiance of Israeli military orders. In a speech on Monday, Hezbollah's Secretary General Naim Qassem said that Israel has violated the ceasefire in Lebanon 1,350 times, while the resistance group has upheld it. Quote, we are facing an occupation that continues to attack and refuses to withdraw, and the resistance has the right to determine how, when, and in what form it confronts them, Qassem stated. And finally, as we always do, we wanted to share images of people expressing determination and resilience in the aftermath of Israel's 15-month campaign of destruction and genocide. Cats and dogs were among the hundreds of thousands of people and their families returning home to the north. One cat named Busi came with her family to the south and was returning to the north. Her person says, quote, I love her a lot and got attached to her a lot during the war. Another young man holds three cats and says they're being returned to the north as well after being fed and looked after. Quote, learn humanity from the Gaza Strip, the man says. And a child with his small dog Lucy smiles as he walks to the north. And finally, our contributor Abu Bakr Abed posted these photos of graffiti along the road where Palestinians marched from the south to the north. The first one says, welcome to the land of the great. Here is Gaza. Number two says, greetings to you for what you have endured. The third says, enter in peace and safety. And the fourth one is a line from a famous poem. The hashtags all say the same thing. Here is Gaza. And that's it for the news roundup. As always, go to electronicintifada.net for much more, especially to read our new features by our brave writers in Gaza. You've been listening to the Electronic Intifada's newscast. I'm Nora Barrows-Friedman. Want to hear more? Check out our live stream with interviews, reports, and analysis, along with print articles, podcasts, and more at electronicintifada.net. Produced by Nora Barrows-Friedman, Tamara Nassar, and Pierre Loisel.